But we are in a series right now that we kicked off last week called For the Win. For the Win. We're talking about, we just got done talking about building the church in a series called Build Your Church, which was a proclamation, not that we will build our church, but God, you build your church. That's what Jesus said. I will build my church. Gates of Hades won't prevail against it. Jesus said that very possessively. And so we want to co-labor with God in building his church. And we also know that at New Life, we want to see a legacy be built. That the work that God is doing here at our church will continue far beyond our own lives until the day Jesus returns. And so in talking about building legacy, we understand then that we are always one generation away from failure. And so in building, if we want to build legacy, we always have to have an eye on the next generation. And many of us here today have the honor to be parents. And so they need to be constantly in our view and in our plan for building legacy. Because God has established his kingdom on earth as a relay race. And I meant to bring my baton, but I didn't even wear my mic when I first came in, and I had to have Joel go get it for me. The idea is that God has established his kingdom on earth as a relay race in a successful baton pass to the next generation is our highest calling. Is it not? And maybe you're here today and you don't have children anymore in this church, or maybe you don't have children at all. But nevertheless, at New Life Church, having an eye on the next generation, we understand, is one of our highest callings. We read the scripture last week from Psalm 71:17. It says, "Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come." And so what we said last week is that we can build a culture in our home that is stronger than the culture trying to deceive our kids. Parents, hear me. You can do this. You can build a culture in your home that is stronger than the culture that wants to deceive your kids. And this has to be a priority to us, because the enemy of our souls has a lot of tools it uses to try to get our kids. And so we have to be engaged in the fight for our own children. So in this relay race of faith, you know, say that a few times fast, relay race of faith, which is going from generation to generation, the greatest tragedy is the sound of a dropped baton. Failing to hand off kingdom values, kingdom principles, and morals to the next generation. The Bible is actually full of moments of dropped baton passes. One significant one happened in the days of Joshua. The Israelites, if you remember, they had been delivered from 400 years of slavery in Egypt through 10 plagues and the parting of the Red Sea. Then they wandered the desert for 40 years, being led by a cloud of smoke by day, cloud of fire by night. God provided fresh manna every morning, and even when they complained about that, he gave them meat to eat. They went through all of these things, led by Moses, and they were given the law, the Ten Commandments, all of these significant things that took place in these years. And then it all led up to a moment where Moses now had passed away, and Joshua steps into a place of leadership. He leads them through the Jordan River, where God, he holds up the water of the Jordan River. They cross over the Jordan River, and finally, into what they've been waiting for years, they enter into the Promised Land. And in order to remember God's faithfulness throughout the generations, Joshua instructed the men to gather 12 stones from the Jordan River, and that they would set up those 12 stones to erect a monument so that for generations, when children would ask, what does that mean? They would look at it and say, God delivered us from Egypt. God split the Red Sea. He helped us cross the Jordan River. He provided for our ancestors in the desert. And we are living in the blessing of God today because of what God has been doing then and what he is continuing to do now. And be able to point the future generations to the goodness and love of God. Joshua was bold, full of faith, that he would make statements like this in Joshua 24, 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, I can just hear him, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But watch this, you know this. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? I mean, come on. How many of us, we've had this statement. We've written it on our refrigerators. We've had the plaque on the wall. We've had the t-shirt. We've had the bumper sticker. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I hope that is still an anthem for us today. That in a world that is full of lies, full of deception, full of immorality, as for me and my house, baby, we're going to serve the Lord. Judges then shows us the reality of what would happen in the next generation. And actually, what we see is the man who made this great statement of faith dropped his baton. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, in other words, after that whole generation had died and moved on, another generation grew up, another generation after Joshua, who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. But what was the whole point of the 12 stones and the stories of God's faithfulness, of God's delivering of his people from Egypt and the 40 years in the desert and the manna and the power and the pillar of smoke and fire and the crossing of the Jordan River? I mean the monument's right over there. It's 12 stones erected to remember, but they knew not what the Lord had done for Israel. What a tragedy. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when Joshua was long gone and his generation was gone, the one that came up after them knew not the Lord or what he had done. It goes on to say that, next slide, that then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served Baals. They served other gods. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the peoples around them. Because this is the tragedy that happens. If we do not pass off our faith to our children will pick up the faith of the world around them in its various forms. They will find their identity in the things that the world has to offer and not realize that they are a son or daughter of the Most High God. They will not remember the monument of what God has done in their ancestors and their families' lives, but instead they will trade it for various gods of the peoples around them. They will trade their identity of who they are in Christ for the identity of whatever is cool, whatever is current at the time in the culture around them. And we see this happening still today. Failed baton passes. But man, say it ain't so. Joshua, the man who made the statement, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, the next generation did not know the Lord. So were the words of Joshua 24 just empty words? How could the baton be dropped so quickly? I mean, consider the priest Eli in the book of Samuel, who, yes, is credited for helping raise the prophet Samuel, but his own children, Hophni and Phinehas, did evil in the eyes of the Lord, to the point that God would actually take his sons and Samuel's lives for the evil that they did. Or consider King David, a man after God's own heart, but his own son would hunt him down and want his life and want his throne. So let me ask you this question. Are you convinced yet? Are you convinced that this race, this relay race that is built into the kingdom of God, is critical? And if we do not make the handoff to the next generation, the race will be lost. Our children will be disqualified, and we will experience the greatest loss of all time. The agony of this most painful defeat will be manifest in our own families, our culture, our nation, and the kingdom of God. I've listened to others over the years complain about the younger generation, speaking with great criticism. These young people, lack of morals, sinful behaviors, the choices they make, this unrepentant generation and their unrepentant hearts, they will ruin our country. They will ruin our churches. And I always want to ask them, you're right. You're right. This generation seems to be in a world of hurt. Who raised them? Who raised them? Who taught them or didn't teach them? Are these children not your children? Are they not our children? And it doesn't, and I do not discredit that children will make their own choices, because they will. And that we see, you know, it's easy to see that parents can do the best they can, but sometimes there's just that one wayward child. But these are our kids. These are our children. And even if you don't have kids in this church, this next generation are the ones that will follow us. Just like many of us will now continue in what God is doing at New Life Church, even in the absence of those that have gone before us. In the absence of those that helped plant this church, start this church, serve in this church, were faithful tithers to this church for decades. There's a next generation after us. There's one that we have to have our eye on right now and investing into right now. And if you are a parent here today, then it's your own kids. If you're not a parent here today, then it's the kids in this church. It's the young people of this church. And even if they're not young, they may be 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, but if they are a new follower of Jesus, then they are next. And we must give our focus to them. But I also want to give this great reminder. It is never too late, it is not too late for the gospel. Even if you have a wayward child, a wayward grandchild, it is never too late for the gospel to reach them. God's not giving up on them. Don't give up on them. I want to give you three reasons for failed baton passes. Dropped baton number one is being distracted and disconnected. Parents, this would be distracted and disconnected parents. There's so many passions, so many responsibilities, so many pressures, so many extracurricular activities, so many hobbies. What is a modern parent to do? Sometimes I just feel like I'm daddy Uber driver. Drive him here, drive him there. Soccer practice here, soccer practice there. Music lessons there, church here, church there. Going everywhere. Too much technology, too much entertainment. Many, many things on the to-do list have made many strangers to their own kids. At a time that kids need their parents now more than ever. This leads to a disconnection in the relationship of parent and child. And really, I see that there are three forms of this disconnection that can take place. One is physical separation. According to Pew Research, in 2008, which is the year that my twins were born, 41% children born in 2008 were born to unwed mothers. In 1960, that number was only 5%. So from 1960, 5%, 2008, 41%. So the change in our cultural view of marriage and expanding divorce rates has side effects. And the effects are on the children who don't have close proximity to both parents. The second disconnection is in homes where children, they do live with both parents. But mom or dad have excessive time demands and priority issues. Today's parents are so overwhelmed with their own personal life challenges, their own self-improvement campaigns, and their own comfort levels that sometimes children can be left to raise themselves. The third disconnection is far less recognizable, but is a growing concern. And it is in homes where, yes, both parents are present and are engaging in time with their kids, yet are unable to make a true emotional and spiritual connection with their kiddo. A recent study shows that parents are spending more time with their kids than they have in the last 40 years. And I would say that from many of my friends and kind of in my age group, this is true. Parents spend a lot of time with their kids. They're very purposeful about time with their kids, more purposeful than my parents were, far more purposeful than my grandparents were. But yet, the body can be present, but the heart not connected. There is an importance of being physically present, but more so in developing a connective relationship that feeds life into our kids. So even if you're a parent today and you feel guilty that you don't spend as much time as you want to with your kids because of circumstances outside of your control, I just want you to know that the most important thing is that the time you spend with your kids, it is connecting with their hearts. We have to have our children's hearts. So it is possible to be present, but not present. I, for one, this is something that I have struggled in for years sometimes. Because of the overwhelming pressures in my life, it's easy to be present, but not present. Like my mind is somewhere else. And so we have to be present in body and in heart. So drop the baton number one is being distracted and disconnected. There's so many distractions that would love to just come in and distract us from what is important, the next generation. But time goes by so fast. The smallest distraction over time can be critical. Drop baton number two is fear and failure-minded parenting. Fear and failure-minded. This is the parent that is afraid that everything's going to hurt their child. And I'm so thankful for protective parents I'm thankful that I had parents that protected me. I'm also thankful that I had parents that allowed me to make affordable mistakes, because I learned from them. I'm thankful that I had a brother that got whooped more than me. I learned from his mistakes. I saw him get the belt, get the rod, and I thought, you know what? Pretty sure I'm not going to do that. My dad would, man, he'd spank us with anything he could find. My dad did not have much hair, but he had this big wooden paddle hairbrush. I don't know why. I think it was just to torture us. My dad would roll up hot rod magazines. He had a dowel rod from the garden, and he would just say, "You want the rod?" "Well, I don't want the rod." Sometimes my dad would enter the room, and you'd hear his belt coming out of every loophole in his pants. And we'd be, But fear and failure-minded parenting. We realize that our kids are in crisis. We realize that the culture, if we let it, will eat them alive. And yet we struggle with the sense of failure in our own lives. We're paralyzed by fear that we won't be able to do anything about the painful crisis we find in our families. So parental fear mixed with failure produces a destructive cycle, you see. Our fear about our own leadership skills causes us to draw back from our kids and then back down from our own decisions. So based out of fear, based on our personal failures, we back down from the decisions we know we should be making for our family. And then we sense even more of the failure that we sense as a parent. Because of fear and our personal failures, we back down from taking the place of leadership that we know we should have. And then because we did that, we sense even more failure, and the cycle continues. The failure mentality then feeds the fear, and the vicious cycle causes a breakdown in our relationships with our own kids. But here's what I want. Listen, if you're a parent here today, a grandparent, or you just want to think differently about the next generation of our church, this is what I want you to know, that God is not looking for perfect parents to pass the baton to perfect children. He's looking for courageous and faithful parents who are willing, with repentant and humble hearts, to pass on a legacy of redemption, holiness, and wisdom to the next generation. So if you're hearing this today and you're reminded of all your own parental failures, because we all have them, and then when you recognize your own parental failures, it sometimes causes you to just be like, quit. No. Listen, God's not looking for you to be a perfect parent to pass the baton to perfect kids. He wants you to be faithful. He wants you to have a repentant heart so that even in your failures, you can be repentant and you can display for your children what it means to be repentant. You know what's hard? Apologizing to your kids. That's hard. My wife and I have made a habit out of it, though. Like, I'm so sorry for what I said when I was hungry. You understand that, right? Be faithful. Drop baton number 3. Deceived and discarded. Being deceived and discarded. This third reason parents have been deceived and discarded. The truth is that God has ordained each and every one of you parents. He has ordained you to have the power to bring your children to full maturity and to take the monumental role in leading them into a life of purpose, fulfillment, fruitfulness, and faith. God has ordained you to do that for your children. And somehow many parents have been led to believe that they are ill-equipped to take on this position. And so we often then delegate and relegate it to other people. We delegate the role of influencer to a school teacher, a pastor, to a coach. But when a parent stays in the shadows, believing that others can do a better job than they can, our youth will turn to be influenced not by teachers. If it's not you, they'll find an influencer in their life. And sometimes, unfortunately, the majority find themselves to be influenced by movie stars, celebrities, rock stars, MTV, social media influencers. Not all the time. But I've spent a decade or more pastoring teenagers, and I've seen this play out over and over and over again. For a decade as a youth pastor, I hope that God would give me the grace to be an influence in young people's lives, and I hope He graced me with that ability. But I always knew I could never out-influence a parent. And surely, we saw God rescue kids from some pretty awful situations. We did. And praise be to God. But the most powerful influence in a kid's life isn't their pastor, not their teacher, their coach. It can be their father or their mother. And I'm thankful for teachers and coaches that step in a role of influence for young people that have the absence of a loving, caring parent. I'm so thankful for those that do that. But the most powerful influence on our children, it's us. It's you and me. It's a loving, caring parent, grandparent. And sometimes all it takes for the next generation to see their value and to turn their lives around is just one caring adult. And that could be any of you. One caring adult, that's all it takes. So parents, do not give away your spiritual authority to others. Be a parent of faith and confidence. Let's be parents that grasp the deep revelation that we have the vested and godly authority and have the grace and wisdom of God that we can lead our kids. That God placed these kids in our homes. They are a gift from God. And one day we will answer for the stewardship over their lives. Now, dads, I want you to listen to me for a second. I can't speak as a mother very well, but I can speak as a father. Dads, perhaps the greatest problem that causes us to be discarded is our own passivity. Because as fathers, we desperately feel the need to be successful. And so when we search out and find an area of our lives that we feel a measure of success, we go all in for it. We invest ourselves into that particular area until we take dominion over it, since we have victory in it. And if that area of focus is not being a dad, then we have a tendency to drift further and further from fulfilling that role. I've personally battled with all of these dilemmas. But I'm reminded that God's not looking for perfect parents to pass the baton to perfect kids. He's looking for courageous, faithful parents who are willing, with repentant and humble hearts, to pass on a legacy of redemption, holiness, and wisdom to the next generation. So whether you have kids or not kids, or no kids in this church, the challenge is the same, that we keep an eye on the next generation, that we see a legacy go on from here. And ultimately, this is for the win of the kingdom of God, for the win of our legacy, for the win of New Life Church. Because when they win, we win. And if I win because my children win, it's the win of those that went before me. Because this is built to be a relay race. And so sometimes that means that I have to run my race and recognize when it's time to pass the baton, when it's time to lay down my own preferences, my own desires, my own traditions, in order to give the next generation the greatest start, the greatest liftoff for their leg of the race. Let's stand together. I hope that you don't feel heaviness this morning on this particular topic. I hope that you feel inspired. I hope that you feel inspired again for maybe the kids in your life. I hope you feel inspired to keep building legacy in our church. I hope you feel inspired to build legacy in your homes. I hope it inspires you to see that the win is when they win. That the greatest win is in the next missionary called. The next win is the next young person decides to get married first and to do it right. The next win is to see lives changed and discipled and rooted in Scripture. The next win is to see the values, and not these are my values. No, these are kingdom values that supersede generations. That we see the values and morals and principles of the kingdom of heaven continue to be passed down to all believers in the next generation. So will you help me, church? Will you help me keep our eye on the next generation so that we can build a legacy here at New Life for the kingdom of God and for the win of the gospel? It is the power of God for salvation. So God, I just pray right now, God, for every parent that is in this place, that right now is in just the thick of it. That maybe, Lord, that today they're here and their parent heart is heavy, because parenting can be heavy. Maybe there's a grandparent here today and their heart is heavy for their grandkids. God, may we be motivated to be people of prayer for the children that we have influence over. God, I pray that you would give us a sense of confidence to combat the fears and failures that we have had in the past. That God, that we would recognize that you have blessed us and gifted us with the children in our lives, and that means that you have called us and you will equip us to be the leaders and the main influencers of their lives. So Lord, right now as a church, let's all begin to pray right now. We pray for every child, every young person, whether they are a newborn, whether they're in their teens or 20s or 30s. God, we pray for every person in the upcoming generation of your church. God, we pray a hedge of protection over them. We come against, Lord, any principality of darkness that wants to try to distract, wants to be a stumbling block to their lives. God, we pray that we will see a mighty move of God coming up in this next generation, that in our day and age, God, that God, we will get to see what you are doing in our children's lives, our grandchildren's lives, that we will see a legacy being built upon the foundation of the Word of God here in your church. God, we pray, Lord, for every young person that is currently bound up by the lies of this world, that the truth of God would pierce their hearts and set them free, that chains would be broken. Lord, we pray for the prodigals that are represented from families in this church, no matter their age. Lord, that parents know that they raised them better than that, but right now, that Lord, they have lost their way. They've gone off some other direction. We intercede on their behalf. We pray, God, to the Lord of the harvest, that you would send laborers, put them in their pathway. People, put them, God, to sit next to someone at work that's going to whisper the name of Jesus to them and share the gospel with them. May they bump into somebody out in the marketplace that says, God loves you, he cares for you, he sees you, and he wants you to return into his loving arms again. Lord, we pray for the great return of prodigals. We pray, God, that we would raise up children that will be the next leaders of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. God, I pray that there would be a great call of parents and grandparents to step into the role of leaders of their home. We won't delegate it out. We won't subcontract out the leadership over our families. We will take great ownership of it. We will be the main intercessor for our own families. And God, I pray that today you would install great hope, great confidence that every parent, every grandparent needs in this great, great life that we have in leading our families. Would you do it? Would you do it? Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.